Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Friend of Jesus. I know that some of our kids' church, we were talking about him last week, but he's with us here today, and I am so, so excited to introduce you to Peter. Can we all give Peter a warm welcome? He is at the back there. Peter, it's so good to see you. Over to you, Colin.
He's right at the back. Yeah, it is a real honour and a delight and excitement to welcome Peter. Shall we? Peter's got a very handsome beard that I wasn't expecting. It's taken me slightly by surprise. And Peter, it's great to have you here.
Thank you so much
for coming. I'm going to sit down next to you. There is some slight confusion about the name, of course, Peter, because I know you're also called Simon. So which is it, Simon or Peter?
Well, Colin, the story is this. When I was born, my parents called me Simon. But the day I met Jesus, he said he was going to change my name and he was going to call me Peter. Hmm. So I've got both names.
But which name do you prefer? Which name should I use?
Well, I prefer Peter because that's the name that Jesus gave me. But if you like, you can call me Rocky, because that's what Peter means. Rocky.
It means rock, does it?
It does, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Peter, if that's okay, Peter.
Okay.
Now, am I correct in thinking that you were there at the first Easter when Jesus rose from the dead?
You're absolutely right. I was there at the very first Easter when Jesus rose from the dead.
My word.
And it was a great day.
Wonderful day.
But it didn't start out as a great day.
Really?
No.
Why ever not? How did the day start? Why did it start well?
Well, to understand how the day started, you've got to go back a couple of days. You've got to go back to Thursday evening. Because on Thursday evening, Jesus got us all together and he said we were going to have a meal together. And after the meal, Jesus wanted to wash our feet. And I made a bit of a fool of myself and I said to Jesus, "You're never going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you don't belong to me." And he just looked at me.
Oof.
So I said, okay, not just my feet. Then you can wash my hands, you can wash my head, you can wash any part of my body that you like. And Jesus just looked at me.
He looked at you.
As he does. And then he washed my feet.
Yeah.
And then he dropped an absolute bombshell because he said to us, "And one of you is going to betray me."
What? One of the disciples?
That's right.
It must have come as such a shock. Did you have any idea who he was talking about? Which one of you?
We had no idea at all who he was talking about. And so I said to John was sitting next to Jesus, so I said to John, "Ask him, who's he talking about? Ask him who he means." And so John turns and says, "Who do you mean?" And it turns out it was Judas.
Bet you could have heard a pin drop at that moment.
You could. None of us saw that coming. And to be honest, most of us were just relieved he didn't say it was going to be us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he went on and he said, "Actually, all of you are going to desert me."
Oh.
And I said, no, that's never going to happen. I'm never going to desert you. Jesus, I love you so much. I'd die for you rather than desert you. I'd never desert you. But Jesus just looked at me. He said, "Peter, before we get to tomorrow morning, and before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you're actually not just going to desert me, you're going to disown me 3 times. And I said, no, Lord, I'll never do that. And everyone else said, "No, we're not going to desert you." But Jesus just looked at us with a sad kind of look in his eyes.
Peter, forgive me,
yeah,
but I have to ask.
Okay.
Was he right? Did you disown him 3 times?
I'm ashamed to say I did. That soon after we left the meal, he was arrested and he was taken, and I tagged along behind so I could see what was happening, and I managed to get into the courtyard, and there were crowds of people around, And someone came up to me and said, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm not. And then it happened again a second time, and then a bit more time went by, and then a third time someone came up to me and said, you are one of his disciples. You come from up north like he does. You speak like him. I used to have quite a broad northern accent, but I've lived so long in Rome, I've lost it. Before I could help myself, I just blurted out, no, I used a few choice words as well that I won't repeat this morning because
children
present, but some of the words from when I was a fisherman. And I said, no, I don't know him. Just as I said that, I hadn't realized how much time had gone by because just as I said it, the cock crowed. And Jesus must have heard the cock crowing. He may even have heard what I said. Because he just turned and he looked at me and our eyes met. And I tell you, in that moment, I was absolutely devastated. I didn't know what. I just got up and I ran outside the courtyard and I ran and I just fell to my knees and I cried and I cried and I cried. I don't mean a little tear ran down my cheek like it sometimes does now when I think about it. No, I cried. There were tears, there was snot. It was not a pretty sight at all. I just thought, I'm never going to stop crying. And in that moment, it just felt like it was all over.
Thank you for telling us, Peter. You're here now, Peter. Something must have happened. Can you tell us what happened next?
Well, to be honest, what happened next was I just went and hid myself away. I just couldn't face anything at all.
So you weren't actually there when Jesus died?
No, I'm ashamed to say I hid myself away. I found out later that some of the women from Galilee who'd been with us, they went to the cross. They were there with Jesus. And John, he was always closest to Jesus. He was there at the cross and Jesus' mother was there. But I'm ashamed to say that me, the one who said I would die for him, I couldn't even bring myself to be there with him when he died, and I hid myself away. And then I found out later that another one of his followers, a man called Joseph, he's from Arimathea, you know, just down the road, he'd come and he'd asked Pilate for the body, and they'd taken the body down from the cross, and they'd taken it into a brand new tomb that Joseph had prepared, and they'd put him in the tomb. And as far as I was concerned, once again, it was all over. That was the end of it. Yeah.
Wow. Peter, you mentioned the tomb. Why don't we wander up to where the tomb is?
I'll do my best.
Okay, careful.
It might take me a while.
That's right.
Yeah.
How old are you, Peter?
It's a good question. It was a long time ago. As my mother used to say, I'm as old as my tongue and a bit older than my teeth.
We've got a staff member like that.
Yeah?
He's also got a very common name.
Has he?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a common name, not a popular name.
He likes to say a popular name. Yeah. So, Peter, why don't you go a little bit slower?
Okay. Then,
because,
I don't want
you to get too puffed out. When they buried Jesus, I guess you thought that was the end of the story, right?
That's right. It was. Yeah. As far as we were concerned, it was all over.
But things changed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't the end of the story. Can you tell us what happened next?
Well, of course, the next day was Saturday. That's the Sabbath, so none of us did anything on the Sabbath. And then on a Sunday morning, a few of us got together. It was a pretty gloomy meeting, I can tell you. Because all we could think about was the fact that we'd let Jesus down.
Yeah.
We'd deserted him. We'd betrayed him. I'd disowned him. And the worst thing of all was there was no way we were ever going to get to tell him just how sorry we were.
Yeah.
It was a gloomy meeting, I can tell you.
Oh, I bet. What did you decide to do? From that point, what did you decide to do next?
Well, actually, before we could decide to do anything at all, some of the women, you know, the women I told you about who'd been at the cross, well, they decided to go to the tomb, and they came bursting into the room, and they were talking away, and they were excited, and they were shouting, and to be honest, we could hardly tell a word they were saying. But it turns out they'd gone to the tomb. But when they got there, they'd fully expected the stone to be in front of the tomb, and they'd got spices that they were going to use to anoint Jesus' body. But when they got there, they found the stone wasn't in front of the tomb And no longer was what they said, and they didn't know what to make of it at all.
Well, what had happened? What had happened to them?
Well, what they told us was that when they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and they'd gone and had a look, and there were two men dressed in white inside the tomb. I mean, not white, not like this sort of grubby white, and a really bright white, sort of shining, really, really bright white. And they'd met these two men.
David, this is my friend, Grace. She's going to take
it. Really nice.
Yeah, I get mixed up with names at my age as well. Yeah.
I just sort of caught the end of that there. Are you saying that the women moved the stone?
No. There's no way they could have done that. It took a couple of men to put that stone in place when they sealed the stone. No, they don't know. I assume maybe they thought the two men must have rolled the stone away.
Okay, so, I mean, any other clue what had happened? They just had these men standing there.
Yeah, what the men said to them, they asked them a question. They said, why are you looking for someone who's alive in a tomb? That's where you put dead people. He's not in the tomb. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. And when they told us this, they said they'd remembered that Jesus had said something like that, and how we remembered he'd said something like that, but to be honest, we didn't really know what he meant at the time.
Yeah, I see what you mean. What happened then? I mean, they'd moved the stone. What happened?
Well, they came then, they told us what had happened, and so, you know, I thought, well, to be honest, I'm a bit of a skeptic. I mean, I'm not as bad as Thomas. God, he doubts everything. But I thought, I'm going to go down there for myself. So me and John, we set off, and we thought, we're going to go to the tomb and see for ourselves.
Right.
So we set off, and John ran, and he got there first. I tried to run. In those days, it was my weight that was the problem, not my age. But eventually, I caught up with him, and I got to the tomb, and John, he'd got there, and he stood outside, and eventually, I caught up with him outside the tomb. And I thought, what's the point of standing outside here? Let's go in. So we went in the tomb to see for ourselves.
And is this what it looked like?
This is it, yeah. The stone was moved away, and we could sort of see inside the tomb. Yeah.
Do you think we could go in?
Yeah, well, why not? Let's go and have a
look.
All
right,
yeah.
Okay. After you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, yeah.
Careful.
Thank you. I remember this, yeah.
Wow.
I'll never forget it when we came in here.
Peter, what does it feel like to be back in here?
I can't explain it. I could never, I can't put into words what it feels like now and what it felt like on that first Easter Sunday when we came in here.
So tell us, when you came in here all those years ago, what did it look like?
Well, it looked like this, and we fully expected to see Jesus' body. Even though the women had said it wasn't there, we wanted to check out for ourselves. We fully expected we'd see Jesus' body lying over there where it had been, but it wasn't there.
So there was nothing there at all? It was just an empty, there was nothing?
But that's a strange thing. The clothes that Jesus had been wearing, they were still there, as if his body had just been removed from them. The clothes were still lying there, but the cloth that had been round his head, that was sort of neatly folded up and put in a place by itself over there.
Wow, that is so bizarre. And, I mean, at this stage, I mean, what did you make of it all?
We didn't know what to make of it, to be honest. We just didn't know what to make of it. Was it what had happened? Had someone stolen the body? Or was it even possible that Jesus was alive again? We really didn't know what to make of it, to be honest.
Suppose you just went home then.
We did. We just decided that was it. We'd go home.
All
yeah.
Right. Should we get out?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. I tell you what. Let's take a seat. I think we should take a seat.
A
you know,
idea.
In your old age, we can't have you standing too long. I hope that's not
kind of you. Thank you. Thank
oh yeah, oh. Colin, give us a hand there. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, young man. Thank you.
All right. Do you need a hand?
I'll be okay.
You're all right.
I
okay.
might need a hand down later, but I'm. Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
So you'd been in the tomb, nothing was there. There were some wrappings and the bit that covered his face. I mean, even at that stage, did you really believe that he had risen from the dead?
We didn't. We just didn't know what to believe. We were just unsure. We knew he'd said something about coming back, but to be honest, we didn't really know what he meant when he said it. And so the body wasn't there, but we just didn't know what to think, really.
So when did that change?
It actually changed later that same day, because later that same day, I actually met Jesus.
As in physically, in the flesh, you saw Jesus.
That's right.
It was
just him and me. And at first when we met, I couldn't believe it was him, and he just looked at me, as he always used to do.
He seems to do.
You know, I'll never, ever forget that meeting with Jesus. It was as if it was yesterday.
We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know, and Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, 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 and I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees, like, keep them out, you know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly, she was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty, and she said that there was an angel there, and the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so, me and John, we hightailed it down there, and if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go.
This is. He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
Meeting with Jesus that day absolutely, completely changed my life. I knew he was alive. Life has never been the same since. And from that moment on, I was determined I was just going to tell everybody I could about Jesus and his grace and the fact that he was risen from the dead. In fact, I wanted everyone to know about it so much. I thought, we need to write this down. I'm not very good with writing. I'm not good with words and stuff, really. I can talk a lot, but when it comes to writing, not very good with writing. So I've got a young friend of mine called Mark, and he helped me. And we wrote down everything that Jesus did right from the very beginning when he started out his ministry, right through to the end when he rose from the dead. But I wanted people to know more than that, so I wrote a letter as well. I think I've got a copy of it here somewhere.
I think you might have left that copy somewhere else.
Oh, well, I've got another copy here if you needed it. But I've got a copy of this letter that I wrote because I wanted other people to know about Jesus and his death. I say, my eyes are not what they used to be.
No, I think we could probably get someone to help us
with
that.
Could we? That would be really good if someone could help us with...
Is Ben here? Is Ben, give us a hand reading this? Yeah,
oh, that would
up?
Be so Sophie, good if you could well? Do that for Sophie? Us.
Your eyes are a little bit better, I think.
Yeah.
Hi. Do you think you could hold that and read it nice and loud?
And so I'm Peter, and an apostle on assignment by Jesus the Messiah, rising to exile, scattered to the four winds. May everything good from God be yours. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven.
And the future starts now.
And the future starts now. Wow. That sounds wonderful. But, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not really sure I understand all of it. I mean, it's quite a lot to take in.
Yeah. It's the last bit that's the most important bit. Do you think you could read that
could
last
read
little
that again?
Bit for us again?
Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now.
That's the key part of the message. Because Jesus was raised from the dead.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful reading.
Yes.
Good reading.
Because Jesus is raised from the dead, we can get a brand new life. So you remember when I met Jesus, he talked about grace and how because he died, our sins could be forgiven. But because he rose again, we get more than just our sins forgiven. We get a brand new life. You remember John? I told you about John. He came to the tomb with me. Remember when I met Jesus, I did lie a bit about who got there first. I'll admit it now. I'm old. I can't deny it. John did get there first. And he did go on to write that book that I talked about. And John always kept reminding us about the time when there was one of the Jewish rulers. There's a man called Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus. And he asked Jesus the question, what would I have to do to get a brand new life? And Jesus said, you have to be born again. And it's all there. Jesus gives us a brand new life. It's like getting to start all over again. And not only that, but when we get this brand new life, we've got everything to live for. As I said, when I thought Jesus was dead and that was it, it was as if life was over. There was nothing to live for. But because Jesus is alive, there's everything to live for. Not just something to live for, there's someone to live for. And it's even better than that. We don't just get a brand new life. We don't just get something, everything to live for. We get the assurance that we'll spend our future in heaven with Jesus. I'm knocking on a bit now. I've not got long left in this life.
Well, I think that's incredible. So you're just saying, just to summarize it, you've got a brand new life, you get everything to live for, and a future in heaven with Jesus.
That's right.
Let me clarify. I mean, is that just for the people who met and knew Jesus back then?
No. That's the great thing about it. You see, one of the things Jesus also said, he said it to Thomas, actually. He said, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have believed. So all of these things, a brand new life, everything to live for, and a future in heaven with Jesus, they can be for anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, whether they met him when he was here on earth or whether they never saw him. If they believe in him, all of those things can be theirs as well.
That is incredible. Well, Peter, Rocky, it has been great chatting to you. Thank you so much for being here with us.
You're
can we give him
welcome.
A big round of applause? Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
Let me help you down.
Thank you.
Oh. You got that.
There we go.
Careful.
Right. I'll go this way. It's wider.
Thank you, Peter. I think for most of us, we have those assurances that Peter was talking about there and that were read out from 1 Peter. But it could be that you're visiting today or you're from a background and an experience with God where you think, actually, I'm not sure whether I have that future in heaven, whether I have that eternal life, that gift of eternal life that the Bible describes. If that is the case, we would like to lead you in a prayer right now, just as you are. Grace is going to pray a simple prayer, and if you would like to echo that prayer in your heart, whether you are very young or very old or at some stage in between those two extremes, we're going to say a simple prayer that you can pray along in order to give your life to Jesus and receive the gift of eternal life that's been described.
If I could just ask that everybody close their eyes and bow their heads. So, it's just a private moment for some people. Father, we thank you for your life. We recognize that we need a savior. Jesus, thank you that you are that savior for me and that you died to forgive our sins. I turn from my sin now and I invite you, Jesus, into my heart and turn towards you. Would you be with me and guide me as I follow you? I give you all that I have. In Jesus' name, amen.